16 has in the meeting in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So anything that he quotes is in coherence with the Tadbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you accept Allah as your Lord, then here you have to accept everything that Allah decrees over you. And that acceptance means you have to be patient with the difficulties that befall us. Therefore, this four level of patience. And before we talk about the four level of patience, it means to withhold ourselves, to keep ourselves from doing something that we're not supposed to do in that. And the third level to that, third level in dealing with and coping with our life, with anything that we have to do. The first level is dissatisfaction and resentment. The second level is keeping our hearts from dissatisfaction and resentment. The third level is acceptance. And the fourth level is gratefulness. So when it's a person walking down the street and he slips and breaks his foot, a person might resent that, and he has resentment and dissatisfaction, and maybe he might develop ill feelings toward Allah and blame Allah and say, "Oh Allah, why did you do this to me?" and feel angry toward Allah. And those are things happen to the people. They feel angry toward Allah. They develop a sense of indignation toward Allah. And definitely this is haram. Because if you accept Allah as your Lord, you have to accept what Allah decreed upon us. The second type of how people cope with the situation is to keep ourselves from resentment and to keep ourselves from dissatisfaction. Yet a person feels a bitter feeling in his heart. Therefore it says, the taste of patience is bitter. The patience proves sweeter than sugar. الصبر منهم مذاقه كطعم العلقم ولكن عواقبه أحلى من العسل. The taste of patience is bitter, but patience proves sweeter than sugar. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب. The patience has to be given their reward without any reckoning. The third level is a rida, acceptance. When a person is totally in acceptance, because this person knows that whatever the situation it is comes, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah brings the best. Therefore this person, on top of him, in his heart there's no resentment and there's no dissatisfaction, on top of that there's acceptance. And the fourth level, which is a higher level, is a shukr, a gratefulness. When a person, a calamity before him, and he deals with it as it was a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he perceives it as bounty. For those calamities work as ways to expiate our sins. Therefore, this person thinks it's better for me to be punished for my sin in this life than to be punished for my sin in the hereafter. And he reflects and understands the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لكن ما أصاب المسلم من غم أو هم أو حزن أو حتى الشوكة يشاكها إلا كفرت عنه خطاياه أو كما قال رسول الله. That a person, if he falls into depression, sadness, or even one thorn goes into his body, that will make his sins fall off of him. So this is the fourth level in dealing with the issues that come in our life. So the reason why the author put this chapter in the book of Tawheed, it says part of Iman to deal with the destiny, with the decrees of Allah is patient. And that is because the decree of Allah are believing in Him is part of believing in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, you have to accept Allah as your Lord. And if you accept Allah as your Lord, you have to accept the actions of Allah. But here we have to clarify one issue. Accepting the decree of Allah, that does not mean we have to accept the actions of the people. So if somebody comes and slash your thigh, and you come out and you get bitter, you know, and angry, and say, okay, this is the qadr of Allah, you have to accept it. So yes, I'm accepting the qadr of Allah, but that does not mean I have to accept your practices. And just like I accept the qadr of Allah, you have to accept the qadr of Allah too when I deal with you. As not say that. Haram to function that. So when by accepting the qadr of Allah, that does not mean you accept the actions of the people. And that goes back when we explain that what Allah does to choose always good, but the action of the people could be good or could be bad. And then the after having said that, we go through the ayat in this chapter. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Whoever believes in Allah, Allah will guide his heart. Guide his heart to patience. And a guided heart is having influence on the body. A person who has a guided heart has a guided body. Because we always say in the body there is a clock. If the clock is good, the body is good. And this clock is the heart. So whoever whose heart is guided, his body will be guided. Therefore he's not going to knock his head on the wall or break the dishes. So if all of those things represent this satisfaction with the decree of Allah. Whoever heart is guided, his tongue will be guided to say that which is good. And his limbs will be guided to do that which is good. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِثْنَتَانِ فِي النَّاسِ هُمْ بِهِمْ كُفْرُ الطَّعْنُ فِي النَّسَرِ وَالنِّيَاحَةُ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ. Two qualities in the people are representation of kufr. To degrade the genealogy of people and to weep over the dead. The reason why those hadith was included in this ayat, in this chapter, because those actions represent lack of patience. People who weep over the dead in this fashion, the fashion of al-niyaha, this reason represents lack of patience. قلت بأخذ الطاقب صلى الله عليه وسلم الشيء ليس منا من ضرب الحدود وشق الجيوب ودعا بدعوة الجاهلية. It's not of us the one who strikes the sheep and tear off the opening of the clothing and pull in a way that represents the core of the Jahiliyyah. So all of those actions represent lack of acceptance to the decree of Allah. And that is widespread nowadays. Person die and the woman start hitting themselves on the head, weeping and crying and tearing their clothing apart. Do they do that in your
country?
Yeah. Yeah. That represents lack of patience. And then we go to another hadith. It says, إذا أراد الله بعبده الخير عجل له العقوبة في الدنيا وإذا أراد بعبده الشر أمسك عنه بذنبه حتى يوافى به يوم القيامة. From this hadith, the hadith of Anas رضي الله عنه, it says, if Allah wants good to his slave, Allah will make his punishment come to him good in this life. And if Allah wants to bring evil to his slave, Allah will hold the punishment until the punishment will be given to this person on the day of judgment. This hadith has two important points of it. First, if Allah wants good to the slave, Allah will give him the punishment in this, to this slave in this life. Where we sit in the chapter of Al-Masr, when those people were sinning and disobeying Allah, Allah opened for them the gates and the doors of everything. But if a person received the punishment from Allah, that might be an admonishment for him, a reminder for him to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the punishment in this life is easier than the punishment in the U.S. But there is better than that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the person in this life and in the U.S. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who receive the forgiveness. And the contrary, those who Allah wants to bring evil to them, Allah will not give them their punishment in this life. Therefore, they are not going to receive any admonishment. Secondly, the punishment of the year after is more severe than the punishment of this life. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ عِظَمَ الْجَزَاءِ مَعِظَمُ الْبَلَاءِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا بَلَاءً فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى وَمَنْ سَخِطَ فَلَهُ السَّخَطَ. It says, the amount of reward is related to the degree or the degree of affliction, the degree of the test. Meaning the more of a severe test a person goes through, the more reward he's going to receive. And if Allah loves certain people, Allah will test those people. Upon the test, whoever is happy and pleased with the death of Allah, Allah will be pleased with him. And whoever deals with resentment to the test, Allah will resent him and Allah will be angry with him. So that means those who establish Tawheed, they have to have total acceptance to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their life. And deal with it with acceptance and patience. And be, and let it be known to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjects his righteous slaves to the test. The test for them to affirm their faith. And this test serves two purposes. The first purpose is to expiate our sins And the second purpose is for us to obtain higher levels and higher status. Therefore, the prophets of Allah, all of them were tested severely to attain the highest level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that, we finish this chapter and read the issues inshaAllah.
This, i.e. accepting to Allah's decree, is part of proper faith in Allah. The Arabian lineage.
That when a person is degraded, another person takes on their genealogy and lineage.
Intensity of punishment promised to those who left the chief in anguish and fear and tear the clothes and call out to the way of the days of ignorance.
Because the Prophet said, "Laysa minna," it's not of us.
The sign that Allah was good with the slaves.
And that is for this day too, the punishment will come to him in this life.
The sign that Allah left that.
Yeah.
The sign of love of Allah for his worship.
And this sign is Allah to subject those who we love for to death.
Forbidden of being displeased and unaccepting of Allah's decree.
Mm-hmm.
The merit and reward of being accepted of test and trial.
Alhamdulillah. Having said that, we move on to the next chapter, the chapter of Ar-Riya, the chapter of showing off. Ar-Riya is a disease of a heart that is very subdued, very silent. Many people are not aware of this disease in their heart. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure our hearts from Ar-Riya, showing off. Ar-Riya means for a person to do an action for the purpose of getting recognition by the people. For a person to do an action for the purpose to be said about him certain statements. This is a riya. A riya is a minor shirk. And the reason why a riya is minor shirk, because a person should do the act of worship to please Allah. But when a person is doing the act of worship to get the reward from the people, that represents shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this shirk is minor because the person is not worshipping the people but trying to seek some reward from the people for the work that he did to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ash-shirku fi ummati akhfa min jadid an-namli 'ala al-saqa." Shirk in my nation is more sincere than the ant of crawling on the rock. An ant of crawling on the rock is not going to hear any footsteps. And also the shirk might speak to our heart and we do not hear any footsteps. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companion, and this hadith in Sahih al-Jami' and the other one is in Sahih al-Jami' also, both of them are Sahih. "Ash-shirku fikum akhfa min jadid al-yamn wa sa'adulluka ala shay'in idha fa'alta azhab Allahu anka sighar ash-shirk wa kibara." Taqul, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم." The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "Shirk is more silent than the crawl of an ant. But I'm going to tell you about something. If you do it, Allah will keep away from you the minor shirk and the major shirk." To say, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you to associate with you knowingly. And I seek your forgiveness for that which I do not know." Make sure you remember this dua that upon you instituted in your worship. You say, O Allah, Allahumma, إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. I seek refuge in you to associate with you knowingly, and I seek your forgiveness to that which I do not know. Now this having said that, we go through the chapter. The first ayah it says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. This is the last ayah of Surah Al-Kahf, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it says, say, O Muhammad, that I am a human like you, that I receive al-wahy. And al-wahy, that your Lord, your deity of worship is one. So whoever is hoping to meet Allah, to meet His Lord, whoever is hoping to meet His Lord, let him do good actions and not associate with the worship of Allah anything. So here, for those who hope to meet Allah, there are two things that they have to do. Good actions, and make sure those actions are free from association. Free from making those actions have any kind of reaction then. Any kind of taking partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing, عمل صالحة, good actions. Al-amal salih, the good action, for it to be good, it has to meet two conditions. The first condition, that the niyyah behind this action is correct. And the niyyah to be correct, it has to be the niyyah to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. The niyyah to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The niyyah to enter the paradise of Allah. The niyyah to subject ourselves to the mercy of Allah. So that the niyyah has to be correct. That the niyyah of our action is for us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the action in of itself has to be correct. The way the action is handled, the way the deed is performed has to be according to the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever does a deed that is not according to our teaching, this deed is rejected. So the deed to be accepted, it has to be according to the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those two hadith that we have mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَمَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ, are the scale by which the actions are or the deeds are measured. The first hadith measures the intention, and the second hadith measures the performance of the action. If the intention is correct and the performance of the action is correct, then the action is correct. And the action is a good action. If one of those reasons are not met, the action is no good. If a person says, I have a good intention, but therefore I want to pray Zuhr 8 rak'ah to worship Allah more, you say, no, it cannot do that. We remember, and we have talked about the hadith many times, where the people came to Prophet Muhammad asking about his worship sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after they were informed, one of them said, I'm going to pray the entire night. realize this person, his intention is sincere. He wants to come closer to Allah. But this good intention in of itself did not make his action good. Therefore the Prophet said, whoever does not follow my sunnah is not of me. So let it be known to you, and preach your friends and family, because this is some of the major misunderstandings in the Muslims, and they say as long as the intention is good, everything is good. Say no. As far as the intention is good, that is one half the story. But the second half, the action has to be good. Meaning the performance of this action has to be up to the teaching and according to the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the action in of itself is good, but the intention is no good, the action is not good. Then we move to the second hadith where it says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَلَى الشِّرْكِ مَعًا مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ مَعْيَ فِيهِ غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَلَى الشِّرْكِ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ مَعْيَ فِيهِ غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this hadith, which is a Qudsi hadith, I am in no need of your partner. Whoever performs a deed and ascribes to me a partner, I will leave him and his partnership. So that shows us partnership in our deed. When we do deed and there's a partner to Allah, this deed is not important. That leads us to the point. If a person does an action and they react on this action might be null and void. And we're going to give you a classification of this issue. If the motive behind the action was showing off, then the action obviously altogether is null and void. If the motive behind the action was sincere, but then showing off came during the play, during the action, now we have two circumstances. If the type of worship is connected altogether, then the altogether action is null and void. An example of that, the prayer. The prayer is all connected together. And the last rak'ah cannot be correct unless the first rak'ah is correct, and so on and so forth. If the person gets up to pray with sincerity, but after he enters into the prayer, he started praying to show off. And that comes in the last rak'ah in the salah. And the salah is concluded as such. If the last rak'ah is based on the first rak'ah, then the entirety of the salah is void. But if the type of worship is not prerequisite of each, there's no prerequisite in the worship, then that which has riyah in it is void, and that which does not is correct. An example of that, the person gets up and he will make $50 out of his way. And after he does that, he sees a person watching him. So he takes another $20 and donates. That $20 which has hit 50 is good. But the $50 which does not have hit 50 in it is correct. So now we have the picture clear. The picture is shown off comes to a worship that is all together as one whole, the entire worship is void. As the showing off comes to a type of worship that is could be in part, that part which has showing off in it, this part is, will be void. Another issue connected to that, sometimes the person feels the elements of hypocrisy or showing off coming to him. But he fights that off and tries to put that away from him. If a person does that, his worship is correct. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِنْ نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي مَا حَدَّثَتْ بِهِ أَنْفُسَهَا مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمْ تَعْمَلْ أَوْ تَتَكَلَّمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooked to my nation that which goes within themselves, as long as they do not do anything or say anything. So if a person is praying and he starts feeling that there's some hypocrisy, some showing off coming to him, but he does not surrender to that, but rather fight that off and try to keep that away from him, that inshaAllah will make his worship accepted. The last hadith in this chapter, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَا هُوَ أَخْوَفُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَنْدِي مِنَ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ قَالُوا بَلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ الشِّرْكُ الْخَفِيُّ يَقُومُ الرَّجُلُ فَيُصَلِّي فَيُجَمِّنُ صَلَاتَهُ لِمَا يَرَى مِنْ نَظَرِ رَجُلِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shouldn't I tell you about something that I am more afraid for you than al-Masih al-Dajjal? They said, yes. He said, the concealed shirk. And that is for a person to stand up and make himself beautiful because he knows another is watching him. And that represents showing off. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us from showing off, and we stop at this point, inshaAllah. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد.